You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Last week, we spoke to the former head of St. Luke's Health System about how hospitals are preparing for COVID-19, also known as the coronavirus. Now, today, we want to turn to how the state and its health districts are gearing up to handle the virus. Now, since the virus was identified in China in early December, as we know, the coronavirus has spread around the world, infecting tens of thousands of people. We do know that at this point, more than 3,000 people have died from the illness. Recent cases and 6 deaths from a senior citizen facility in Washington state have some Idahoans a bit on edge. So to find out what our state is doing, we are joined live in studio by state epidemiologist Dr. Christine Hahn and Lindsay Haskell, an epidemiologist with the Central District Health Department. Welcome to the program, both of you.
Thank you.
So quickly to start, what is COVID-19 and how do we know how it spreads at this point?
Yeah, so COVID-19 is the name that the WHO has given the disease. The virus actually has a different name, which is a little bit of a mouthful. This disease is caused by a coronavirus. Humans get coronavirus infections. There are other coronaviruses that circulate in humans just seasonally, like flu does, and they can cause colds or pneumonias, that type of thing. But this particular coronavirus has not been seen in people before, so it's quite alarming. And it's been causing a lot of illnesses, everyone's aware, in China.
And then how do we know how it spread at this point?
Yeah, so that's a great question. We don't fully know how it spread. The medical papers that have been published, mm-hmm. I'm seeing 3 or 4 a day coming out. So it's really, the information about this is really evolving quickly. The information suggests that it's probably mostly droplet spread. So that is getting coughed on or sneezed on by someone, you know, within arm's length. That appears to be the primary mode of transmission. Contact is another probable way that it's being spread. So that could be where it lands on a surface and then somebody touches that surface and touches their face. And then there's the fear that it could be airborne. There's no direct evidence for that, but that's why in hospitals they're taking a lot of precautions mm-hmm. for healthcare workers to prevent that.
And at this point, we do not have any confirmed cases in Idaho.
That's correct.
Right. But now, can we talk about the symptoms for a second? Because I have read that some say you get a runny nose, some say you don't get a runny nose. I mean, it's kind of like the flu, but it's not kind of like the flu. I mean, what do we know at this point? And Lindsay, could you maybe address that a little bit?
Yeah, we know there's a spectrum of illness. We're still, as medical papers and information's coming out, determining exactly what that looks like, whether it's cough, fever, really lower respiratory infection symptoms, but can progress with high fevers, pneumonia, shortness of breath.
And we had a lot of listeners ask questions in advance of the two of you coming on. So I do want to get to some of those. So I want to start with this voicemail from a listener.
My name is Bob McFarland. I live in Boise. The CDC put out a few days ago that only they and a few states had testing kits for the COVID-19 virus. Idaho was not one of those states. Do we still lack testing kits to test for the coronavirus?
Christine, do we have testing kits?
Yes, we do. I'm surprised to hear that that's what Mr. McFarland learned from CDC, but we absolutely have testing capacity. We're one of the few states that was able to validate right away, and we have been testing Idahoans, and we continue to offer testing.
Because, in fact, aren't we right now, there are 6 people that are being monitored in the state of Idaho?
We have 6 persons that have been approved for testing that we haven't, don't have results at the moment that we don't have results on yet. So that's a changing, you know, every day we're approving more. But yes, there are 6 folks right now that we are waiting for tests on.
So Dell from Sun Valley also sent us some questions about testing, and she wondered who will get tested and why has testing been delayed around the country?
CDC has set specific testing criteria. It has recently changed, but all testing is done based on that criteria or a case-by-case basis because of the limited testing resources.
And we got another voicemail from a listener, this one about how testing will be done for people who might not be able to actually leave their house.
Richard Porterfield, Nampa. What will you do to help area medical facilities provide telemedical services to screen patients.
Do we know that answer yet?
Yeah, that's a great question. You might know telemedicine is growing in Idaho. There's a lot of work to make that more available. In the meantime, really, I think the district health departments are the ones reaching out and working on getting folks tested. I don't know if Lindsay has more to add about that.
Yeah, I know a lot of our local facilities are doing phone triage for patients, as well as some telehealth services. If somebody, there's a concern that somebody may have the virus and is coming in, steps are being taken to protect other patients and healthcare providers.
And what is health and welfare doing to prepare for cases of the virus?
Yeah, well, health and welfare is working really hard right now, as I'm sure you can imagine. We met yesterday with the governor, and we are also meeting with the Office of Emergency Management to really make sure that our preparedness and our response is statewide and not just, you know, our agency alone. This is really going to take a lot of agencies working together, the health districts and health and welfare. We have staff that are working, you know, at capacity, and we're working to build that capacity further.
And Lindsay, what about Central District Health and other health districts? What are you doing locally to prepare?
Oh, really, we're doing a heightened scale of the work we do every day. We have plans and practice and prepare for these types of situations. But at the local health department here, we've stood up our incident command structure, which allows us some additional framework and resources within the health department. We have plans to set up a call center if our call volume gets high to manage. We're sharing info and working with a lot of community partners, county officials, businesses, childcare, schools, healthcare providers, hospitals. It's really a group effort, and we appreciate all the hard work and support of our partners at the state and local level, including health and welfare and the other public health districts.
And I know you're aware of this. I mean, once Seattle started testing, there were kind of early indications pointing to the coronavirus already having been in the community there, and because it looked a lot like the flu. So is that a possibility here in Idaho that maybe we've potentially already had it here, but as we know, the majority of these cases are mild and they manifest looking more like a flu-like symptom. So is there a possibility that maybe it's already been here and we just don't know? We weren't testing.
Absolutely. I think we all feel that it is because of the limited availability of the testing that we probably have had it in our state. Now that we're able to ramp up our testing and get more done, we expect we will find cases and that it probably has been circulating. As you say, the fact that most cases are mild and it's flu season means a lot of people coming in with, whether it's a cough, a fever, whatever, have probably thought, oh, I probably have the flu, haven't even sought medical attention. So we will not be surprised to see cases now that we're starting to be able to do more testing.
And, I mean, we should know we've had 18 flu deaths in the state of Idaho this year. That's a high number, but yet we haven't had one case of the coronavirus that we know of. And so put that in perspective for people, because the last thing we want to do is create a panic about this situation.
Yes, correct. The flu is here. We see influenza every year, and it causes a similar illness. There's things you can do to prevent the flu, like flu vaccine and medication, where there isn't with coronavirus yet or with this particular one. So really the best thing for people to do is practice what we call respiratory etiquette, hand washing, avoiding touching your face and eyes, staying home if you're sick, avoiding, you know, being close to people and when you're sick. Wearing a mask only if you're sick, not as a prevention method. If you're healthy, just all follow your school, work, and illness policies. Those type of things will help prevent spread of both illnesses.
We're talking with state epidemiologist Dr. Christine Hahn and Lindsay Haskell, an epidemiologist with the Central District Health Department, about preparing for the coronavirus here in Idaho. And listener Dale also is curious about rural communities and how officials will help areas that don't have a lot of medical resources. But maybe that goes back, Lindsay, to that idea of telemedicine as well.
Yes, and in our district, we have high populated areas and rural areas that we serve, and we're working with of various community partners and officials, including healthcare systems, but also EMS, the county emergency planners, in order to be prepared if there is concerns in rural areas.
And when it comes to spreading the virus, when you're actually out in public, I think we got a really interesting question from a listener.
Hi, my name is Brandon. I live in Boise, Idaho, and I work at Albertsons. I was wondering what I could do as a cashier to protect myself from the coronavirus. We are in contact with a lot of people. It's very crowded in the retail industry, and I was curious about what sort of suggestions you might have.
Yeah, Brandon, that's a great question. We know there are a lot of people where their jobs require them to be in contact with a lot of the general public or just people coming through. And that's a tough situation because you want to continue to have that friendly face-to-face interaction with people. I think a couple things. One is for stores like Albertsons or businesses that have a lot of people coming in, to have hand sanitizers and even Kleenex stationed right at the door as people walk in. So if you have a sniffle or you're maybe think you might sneeze or cough, and you know really probably you shouldn't be out at all, but maybe you just got to run in and get those groceries. Having those things available right at the entrance, I think, will really help because it reminds people, first of all, that, oh, you know, maybe I better grab a Kleenex kind of thing. And also sanitize my hands. So I think there's things you can do really kind of messaging to the public that they should be not exposing other people and maybe they need to do the self-checkout, for example.
Right.
And the other things I think as an employee you can do personally is to stay as healthy as possible. You know, if there's a way to step back a little bit from the counter, any distance is helpful to make sure that you've gotten your flu shot, you've got Kleenex and sanitizer, maybe even at your checkout if your employer would support that, those kind of things.
And then another listener is curious about whether pets can actually become carriers.
Hi, my name is Patty O'Hara. I'm calling from Boise. What are some precautions one should take with pets in the house? My understanding is that the virus can actually live on other surfaces for a period of time, and I'm just wondering if there's any information out there on what to do. I know there's some good sense things like don't let dogs lick your face, but again, why aren't we addressing that or reminding people? I think we get a little complacent because they're almost like family.
Yeah, that's a great question. I have seen information that there is some evidence that when they have swabbed pets in the homes of people with this virus, that sometimes they do pick it up. Mm. It's not clear that it's making those animals ill yet. That work is still being done. But still, I think that's a very good point your caller raises. We want to address that better to people. We know pets are family, too, and we just are kind of as things expand, we need to add more information. I agree with about that. In general, keeping your pet safe. I've seen some lovely images on the internet of little pets with little masks
on their faces.
Yeah, which is adorable. I don't know if that's necessary. Just like Lindsay mentioned, wearing a mask when you're healthy has not been shown to really be that protective. It's more for sick people to keep them from coughing and
sneezing. But also our health professionals. I mean, I think that we've got to remember that is that these, especially these medical grade masks, our health professionals need those.
Absolutely. And they are, you know, there's spot shortages. You know, they're saying there's no shortage yet, but there's trouble getting them. And it's been challenging. And absolutely, we need to save those masks for those folks.
And, you know, we've heard a lot about people going to Costco or other stores to buy toilet paper, hand sanitizer, all of that. I was actually at Costco on Saturday. They had coffee on sale and did not put two and two together. And I mean, they were out of things. So, you know, we had another person on Facebook, Melissa, and she's wondering, okay, so what are reasonable preparations? What do they look like versus panicking and thinking that this is potentially the end of the world?
Yeah, that's a great question. I know Lindsay will have some thoughts on this as well. I did want to mention that CDC has a lovely page called Get Your Household Ready for Coronavirus Disease. And I love that the information they have on that. It has some really common sense things, including, you know, first of all, think about vulnerable members in your family, elderly, people with health conditions that you want to specifically protect. Maybe make sure they're not, once the virus is circulating, that they're not maybe the ones going out and doing all the grocery shopping. There are other ideas on that site, and I don't know if Lindsay has a few other thoughts.
Yes, I agree. That is a great resource. A lot of it talks about really just creating a plan for your family. What medications might you need mm-hmm. or want to have on hand? A lot of resources say about a 2-week supply maybe of food or medications, things like that you may want to have. But the CDC guide is great.
I want to thank both of you for coming in and giving us some information about this, the facts and not the panic. State epidemiologist Dr. Christine Hahn and Lindsay Haskell, an epidemiologist of Central District Health. I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters.